In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm intrigued by that phrase, idle talk or idle tale, that we just heard in Luke's Gospel 24, 1-12. One of the common elements of the resurrection story across all of the Gospels is that no one expected resurrection. Even though Jesus predicted his death and resurrection several times across his ministry, not one of his disciples greeted the news that God had raised Jesus from the grave and defeated death and the devil by saying, "Praise God." Not one of them. No one shouted hallelujah when they heard that their friend and Lord had been raised to life. And absolutely no one, when hearing the news that death itself could not hold the Lord of glory captive, not one said, "I knew it." Just like he said, "I knew it." And that's right, my friends. No one expected resurrection. And no one, quite frankly, believed it at first. This is true across all the Gospels, and certainly it's very apparent in Luke's Gospel this afternoon. The women come to the tomb expecting to anoint the dead body of Jesus. That is, they had no expectation that he had been risen. In fact, only when they were reminded by the two men in dazzling clothes did they recall Jesus' promise. And energized by this encounter, they ran back to tell the rest of the disciples, who greeted the tale with utter skepticism. In fact, Luke says that those who received the testimony of the women regarded their message as an idle tale. That's actually a fairly generous translation of the Greek word leros. Leros is the root word of our English word delirious. So in short, they thought that what the women had said was crazy, was absolutely absurd, utter nonsense. And quite frankly, who can blame them this afternoon? Because when you really think about this, resurrection isn't simply a claim that Jesus' body was somehow resuscitated or somehow revived. Resurrection is the claim that God entered the human stage of history in order to create an entirely new reality altogether, which quite frankly can be frightening. Here's why resurrection frightens the world in which we live. Because if the dead don't stay dead, what can we count on this afternoon? Resurrection, seen in this way, breaks all the rules. And while most of us will admit that the old rules aren't perfect, and sometimes they're downright awful, at least we know them. They're predictable. The old ways are a known quantity to us, and in a sense they're comforting. And resurrection upsets all of that. Resurrection, in other words, throws everything off balance. It upsets the apple cart, and generally resurrection turns our neat and ordered lives totally out of whack. Which is why I think if you don't find resurrection at least a little bit hard to believe, you probably aren't really taking it very seriously this afternoon. And truth be told, I suspect that where most of us are, we've heard the story of resurrection so often, it hardly makes us blink, let alone makes us shake with wonder and surprise this afternoon. Which is rather sad when you think about it, because this promise, as difficult as it may be to believe initially, is huge. It's huge. And when it sinks in and lays hold of you, absolutely everything looks different. With this in mind, let's track through some of the thoughts on this second Wednesday of Easter. I think we've got a great opportunity to say that those that actually do find resurrection at least when they think seriously about it, a little hard to believe. And if that's you, then you're in good company this afternoon. You and they, along with the rest of Jesus' disciples, struggled to believe, simply because they recognized the incredible scope and the enormous implications of the biblical witness. A witness that says that when God raised Jesus from the dead, God was creating a new reality. A new reality that overthrows death. A new reality that overthrows sin. And all that would oppress us this afternoon. A new reality that declares once and for all that life is more powerful than death and love is more enduring than tragedy. Which means that maybe we might have to admit that we as church people have at times mischaracterized the nature of true faith. While we in the church may sometimes give the impression that perfect faith conquers all doubt, that's not what the writer of the Bible says. That's not what all the writers of the Bible says, in matter of fact. Biblical authors believed that faith and doubt are actually woven quite closely together. Doubt, questions, and even skepticism, these are not the opposite to faith, but rather they are an essential ingredient. Faith, after all, isn't knowledge. Faith isn't information. Hebrews 11, verse 1, reminds us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. And perhaps during this Eastertide, as we ponder the resurrection, as we ponder this new reality from God, it's a good time to give God thanks for the gift of faith, which is the ability not to understand the mystery of the resurrection, but more importantly, the ability to be inspired, to hope and believe that which is true. Resurrection faith came slow to most of the disciples. At first, they considered the testimony of the women idle talk or an idle tale. And in other words, utter nonsense. But when resurrection faith came, it changed everything. In the end, resurrection is not only the promise of life after death, which, after all, would be enough for us this afternoon. Resurrection faith is also the assurance that the life-giving love of God will always move the stones away. Tombs are just that this afternoon. Tombs are containers for the dead. And so the message of this Eastertide is that we are not people of the tombs. We are not people of the dead places. Places where rejection thrives. Places where judgment grows. Places where fear increases. Where suspicion, dishonesty, racism and human power are strengthened. Our God, the God of Easter, continues to roll away these stones. Stones that want to minimize our resurrection faith. And when the stale air of decay meets the breath of God, new life is created. A new reality is formed this afternoon. The possibility of hope and peace, and this is a reality, and death is truly no more. Proverbs 18:21 tells us that the tongue has the power of life and death. The promise of resurrection is not only secure because God made it so by raising Jesus from the dead. The promise of resurrection is certain when we speak resurrection faith into our lives. Words which roll back the stones. Stones that want to confine, stones that want to constrain and steal the life of God. The tongue has the power of life and death. Resurrection faith throws everything off balance because death does not have it the final word anymore. Love and life is stronger than fear and death. God has a future in store for you and me. And everything is possible with God now. I will leave you with one final thought. New creation begins at resurrection. And will continue until God creates a new heaven and a new earth and renews all and redeems all things. That new reality is here, now. And it can be accessed. You can access that new reality today.